This is Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze, giving you the advice and information on protecting what matters the most in today's world. Phone lines open, 238-5775, 238-KPRL.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Protecting What Matters. I'm Barry Fisher.
And I'm Susan Blaze.
PWM, Protecting What Matters, is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore our history, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. Today's show features Kelly Briggs, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of CESLOC Federal Credit Union, and Sandra Batista Floyd, the branch manager of CESLOC Paso Robles. The call-in number is 805-238-5775. That's 238-KPRL. So, Susan, what do you got from the stack for opening patter?
I had so much trouble deciding, but I think I'll go with appeal. There's a brand new way that certain companies are treating fruits and vegetables. It's called APEEL. And it is just now beginning to come to the United States. It's been in the UK for quite a while, but it has very dangerous properties. And so if you see a cucumber or an apple that says APEEL on it, I guess they're required to label it. Be very cautious because there are some chemicals in there that can cause eye damage and things like that. I actually read some of the scientific papers. I don't know why they would say this is okay.
So don't put the cucumber in your eye?
Don't put the cucumber in your eye. Don't eat it.
Don't eat it
because
either.
The chemicals are not good for
and
you.
How do you spell that again?
APEEL.
Doesn't appeal. Sound very appealing.
I know.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing.
It's always something.
Thanks for sharing that one. All right. Well, we're going to go right into introducing our guests today. First, the overriding guest, of course, is CESLOC Federal Credit Union, which is a $1.2 billion credit union serving over 57,000 members through six branches in San Luis Obispo and northern Santa Barbara County. Now, Kelly Briggs is the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of CESLOC Credit Union. Her duties include management of the branches, contact center, wealth management, advertising, communications, public relations, special events, deposit operations, delivery channel, sales, member, financial education, and political advocacy. When do you have time to take out the trash, Kelly?
I know.
She has been on the CESLOC team for 9 years. Kelly is a graduate of San Diego State University, where she earned her bachelor's degree. Within the credit union industry, she has served as a co-chairperson on the Credit Union Alliance Advisory Committee and is a member of Credit Unions for Kids. Local, and I think that's great that you're teaching kids how to, the financial stuff, because they're not getting it at school. So that's for sure. Locally, Kelly serves on the Lumina Alliance Board, Santa Maria Valley YMCA Board, SLO Children's Museum Board, and a Santa Maria Breakfast, a member of the Breakfast Rotary there. Sandra Batista Floyd is a CESLOC Paso Robles branch manager and has been in the banking industry for 19 years. Some of her major business-related achievements include successful audits, coaching and dedication, and serving her customers and community. She has been a Paso Robles since 1991 and is a Bearcat and Cuesta College alumni. Sandra is also a proud mother of three and a wife of a retired U.S. Air Force airman. Thank you for his service. Thank him. I know he's starting a new job here today.
Thank all of you.
Yeah,
you're all in the military.
Thank
you.
That's right. And Sandra is all about protecting her customers' financial health and well-being, and that is her primary mission and focus. Kelly and Sandra, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Thank you.
So let's start with the basics. What's the difference between a bank and a credit union?
So really, it's all about corporate governance. Banks are, their board of directors are shareholders. At credit unions, they are volunteers. So banks and credit unions both make profits. But what happens with those profits is the real difference based on that corporate governance. So credit unions don't have the pressures of providing profits to their shareholders. Instead, we reinvest our profits back into the membership, whether that is in the form of higher savings rates, lower loan rates, into technology, which is always changing and you need to keep up, branch infrastructure, employees, the community. So that's really the main difference, is how the institutions are managed from the top.
It's kind of like the difference between a stock insurance company and a mutual insurance company.
Yeah, it's just, and so as we talk today, I think you'll see that just going back to that notion of that corporate governance is really where all the differences lie.
And that actually brings up a question for me. Does that mean that the depositors, the people who have their money in the credit union, are actually owners like they are in a mutual insurance company?
Thank you. Very good point that I missed. Yes. So at credit unions, it's one member, one vote. And the members actually do vote every year. We have a board of elections. And so the board, they are also all members. They're required to be. So they also live and work in the communities in which SESLOC or any other credit union can serve. So yes, our members do own the credit unions.
And are there still federal and state chartered credit unions? And is there any much of a difference?
There are differences. And yes, there are both. Right now, SESLOC is still a federal credit union. It comes down to, there are varying things like state sales tax, for example. Federal credit unions are exempt from paying state sales tax. Now, if you become a state chartered credit union, then you do pay it. So, and also I should say, credit unions are not for profit. Sometimes there's confusion in the market and they think that we're actually a nonprofit. We are not. It's a not for profit.
Okay. Okay. Could you tell us a bit about SESLOC's history?
Yes. So we just last year celebrated our 80th anniversary. So back in 1942, there were about 10 local educators in San Luis Obispo who came together and pooled their money to start SESLOC. And they had a very humble achievement of $500 in assets. That is what SESLOC started out with in 1942. Fast forward to today, we've got 6 branches throughout the counties, from Paso down to Santa Maria. We serve over 57,000 members currently and offer consumer and business financial services for the people in our communities.
Great. So in today's banking environment, reserves and the ability to ride out economic ups and downs are important. Can you give us some high-level overview of SESLOC's financials and how you think they stack up against the competition, if any?
Sorry, I was looking at my script. Yes, we are competitive. I think that you're going to find any financial institution, especially right now, you have to manage margin on rates and what you're charging on loans. There is liquidity concerns right now that you need to make sure your loan to share ratio is not, you know, eating up all of your cash reserves. And so we are competitive. We do rate surveys all the time in both deposits and loans, loans. And at SESLOC, we are our mission is not to be the lowest rate, like say on loans. Sometimes we are, and sometimes we're not. But when you look at any product, there are different variations to the products, and sometimes we don't have a prepayment penalty, let's say, that somebody else would, but our rate might be 0.25% higher. So things like that.
Okay, great.
Great. SESLOC is a significant player in consumer and business lending. Where do you see your sweet spots?
Do you want to take that, Sandra?
Definitely. Thank you, Susan. Our sweet spot, I would say, is definitely in auto loans. We've been known for auto loans in our credit union. We actually were presented with a 2023 North County Best Credit Union. So we were so happy to see that. Our Paso Robles branch in particular, you know, thrives on auto loans and consumer products. So business products, we were happy to see that in the article.
Great, great.
I would add also mortgage loans and then commercial real estate loans.
Okay. How are things looking in the you know, residential mortgage market these days for you guys?
So it's a little bit slower. I mean, what you're not seeing anymore, obviously, are the refinances that we saw in the past couple of years. But there are still, so what we're getting are purchases. So it's slowed, but it's, there's still
pretty
still
healthy.
A demand.
It's still a demand. Yeah.
There's a demand for homes, and so we're still doing home loans.
What's your current 30-year rate off the top of your head? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to look that one up and get back to you.
Well, it's funny because I was, and this was kind of a prelude to our next segment, but I was thinking this morning about all the stuff that's been going on in the banking industry. And I was thinking about when I bought my first house in 1978, my mortgage interest rate was 8.75%. And that's higher than it is today. And then, of course, as it got worse towards the end of the 1970s and into the early 80s, you know, they were up to 14%, 15%.
That's what I was going to say. Rates. I remember seeing 14% mortgage rates back then.
Yeah, so Sandra pulled it up. We're sitting at 6.375 to 6.5% on the 30
year. That's great. Yeah, that's
great. Sounds good.
Well, you know, and so before we're coming up on the break, do you have any other high level stuff you want to touch on as far as CESLOC is concerned? And you know, Sandra, you had some fun facts that you wanted to share, I think.
Yes, I am a fun fact person. So before the mid 1800s, actually, the credit unions started in Germany in 1848. I love how their foundation kind of is similar to, in some ways, ours. And they began off of voluntarism, self-help, one member, one vote, and character and network. Now, back then, that was the dream. That was the dream to have a loan. And, you know, back then in the 1800s, Americans would not be able to have those. They would have to have guaranteed.
Good.
Great.
Yeah. So when we return, we're going to spend a bit of time unraveling some of the recent headlines from the banking world, particularly as it pertains to deposit insurance and its impacts on consumers. So stand by. Be back in
Ace 2. Auto Care in Atascadero. The best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care. All your vehicle needs. Everything you want.
News. I'm Tom Graham. There are calls for more charges against an 84-year-old Kansas City white man who shot a black teenager. 16-year-old came to his home by mistake.
We're happy that there are two felony charges that bear serious consequences, but we're not quite sure why attempted murder wasn't one of the charges.
Family attorney Lee Merritt speaking to CBS Mornings. This is Ralph Ural, continues to recover at home. President Biden called to wish the teenager a speedy recovery. Some Chicago leaders are expressing concern about more violence as we head into summer months. This after hundreds of teenagers clashed with police last weekend, raging in the streets. Alderman Raymond Lopez.
We know not all of our youth are bad, but we do know that there are organized efforts to bring them to downtown and other neighborhoods to cause chaos and pandemonium.
A 14-year-old was shot, several others hurt. America is listening to Fox News.
Looking to redecorate your home with a Western vibe? Come into Copper and Lace at Reminisce Antiques, 1344 Pine Street in downtown Paso Robles. At Copper and Lace, we have Western-inspired bedding, home decor, handcrafted leather table runners, and one of the largest selections of cowhides on the Central Coast. Be sure to think of Copper and Lace for all your Western-inspired decorating. Copper and Lace at Reminisce Antiques, 1344 Pine Street in downtown Paso Robles.
It's time for the 15th annual Vintage Rendezvous, Saturday, April 22nd, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Downtown City Park. Sidecars, vintage motorcycles, recycled treasures, and electric cars. Go back in time and join the fun with a showcase of sidecars, vintage motorcycles, cars, electric cars, and recycled treasures. The Vintage Rendezvous, Saturday, April 22nd, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the Downtown City Park. Bring the whole family. Admission is free.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Kelly Briggs and Sandra Batista Floyd of CESLOC Federal Credit Union. The KPRL call-in number is 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So before we get to the first question, Kelly, Susan and I were going through our notes last night, and one of the funny things that Susan said to me was that, you know, isn't this banking issue old news? And as we were going back through the notes, it's amazing how the news cycle moves so quickly. But it's only been 30 days since we were watching the meltdown of some significant financial institutions here in the United States. Then I started thinking about it a little bit this morning. And again, in my working life, my adult working life, you know, we had hyperinflation of the early 70s and 80s. We had the savings and loan meltdown of the late 80s. The dot-com bubble of the late 90s, the 2008-2009 mortgage-backed securities recession, and then, of course, the COVID lockdown, federal debt, ESG, green energy-induced bank failures that we're now experiencing with Silicon Valley Bank. I guess the question that came to my mind was, and this is a rhetorical question because you don't know that this was coming. The fact is will this country ever get it right when it comes to fiscal and monetary policy and the way they run it? Because we just seem to keep running into the ditch.
Well, there is a common denominator, isn't there?
Yeah,
I think it's called the government.
Yeah,
the more they get involved, it seems like the more cycles go up and down.
There you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the first question is: so when we look at the recent events, Kelly, in the banking world, particularly the failures of Silicon Valley and Signature Bank, would it be fair to say that the triggering event was the rising interest rate environment and a misalignment in their reserve investment strategies? Can you unpack some of that for our listeners?
Yes. So there's, I can speculate for one thing, but I do want to let you and your listeners know that mid-May, I was just in Sacramento last week for a credit union government relations rally, and the commissioner of the DFPI, and I told you I wouldn't use acronyms, so that means the Department of Financial Protection and Innovation, basically, aka the California Bank Regulators. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Chloe Hewlett was there, and she did say that her department is going to issue its full investigation by May. And so to your point that this all happened 30 days ago, I was kind of impressed that a regulator is going to turn it around. So we really will know more within the next few weeks. But I think from our perspective, what we saw with this is these two banks in particular and others like them, they have very niche markets. So whether it's venture capitalists or their customer base, and when you're talking $250 billion in assets, they aren't... their portfolio, if you will, is very focused on one area. Other ones were heavily invested in crypto, and we're seeing what's happening with that.
So they weren't diversified.
They weren't diversified. I also don't believe that they did have good risk management practices in place. And you just mentioned state banking regulators, and there's also federal banking regulators, right, for banks and credit unions. What's happening? And this is where, as credit unions, we are lobbying both state and federal level for them to stop applying a one-size-fits-all approach with bank and credit union, financial institution, I should say, regulation. And so you see what's being applied, maybe these big mega banks, and you try to do it to a credit union, especially one that's less than $1 billion in assets, and you can just start to see where things are going to fall and unwind.
Well, I read lots of articles in prep for this, and it looked almost like a repeat of the dot-com bubble. This time, it's a lot of these companies are in the climate mitigation mm-hmm. business, and they come up with some crazy idea, like they're going to, you know, suck the carbon out of the clouds or whatever it is. And they apply for a grant and they develop a business, but there's no real business case. There's no customer base there, you know, and they just come up with this thing. And then a bank like this would give them a big loan it was predicted, right? And now when it fails, the government's going to bail them out. So like nobody really has to be accountable here.
Yep.
And so for credit unions, we don't... that we have never, nor will we, receive any bailout funds. So think back to the Great Recession, 2008, 9, 10, and the TARP funds, sorry, another acronym, were shared among banks, not with credit unions. Yeah. So again, our business model is completely different.
Yep. Yeah, sounds like in a good way. It has been reported by a number of sources that this Silicon Valley Bank was kind of in like similar to the subprime loan business, you know, to businesses as opposed to individuals, like the mm-hmm. subprime mortgage debacle right. that happened a few years ago. Much of it was driven by all of the green stimulus money floating through from the federal government to startups that probably a normal bank or credit union, you would not fund a business that showed not even any income or any revenue. Maybe, I mean, what was their business plan? Do you have any thoughts on this?
So I can speak to at least the credit union that we work at SESLOC and in general. Yeah, we wouldn't have done those loans, but for various reasons, right? We also don't have I mean, look at the scale. Look at the size of these financial institutions. SESLOC's $1 billion, $1.2 billion in assets, right? So we have to be good stewards of our members' money. And so we've got to do a lot of due diligence on businesses. And so, you know, generally, minimum, they need to be in business for at least 3 years. I mean, there's a lot of things that are kind of required for us to even engage in the business.
And, you know, even that phrase, stewards of our clients' money, I wonder how many people at Silicon Valley Bank ever even used that terminology.
Well, right. Well, and interesting, and this was not part of our, you know, pre-discussed questions, but one of the things that we also read in this stack of articles that we've been collecting here is that what was happening, especially at Silicon Valley Bank, was that, of course, when a bank, and I know you're not the financial officer, but right. Maybe you could shed a little bit of light on this. It was really a Ponzi scheme up there at Silicon Valley Bank, because they were taking all this government loan money from the Inflation Reduction Act and all that kind of stuff for these green energy projects. They were making loans with that money. So that a loan is an asset, right, on the balance sheet of a bank. But then they were requiring these companies to keep the money in the bank, which also is an asset. And then they were just creating
more loans off the same money.
More loans. It was a Ponzi scheme, basically. I mean, have you had any thoughts on that at all, or don't want to comment?
You might plead the fifth on that one.
I probably shouldn't comment. Okay. That's why I'm actually, honestly, really looking forward to when the state regulator provides their report.
Okay.
I can't wait to read it.
I'll let you off the hook on that
one.
Okay.
Thank you.
So this next question, and this deals with the whole issue of the deposit insurance, and the overarching concept is that of the concept of moral hazard that the government has created. And just for our listeners, we've mentioned this before, but the definition, one of the definitions of moral hazards, it can exist to a contract. It can exist when a party to a contract can take risks without having to suffer the consequences. So with those thoughts in mind,
right.
So in the case of Silicon Valley Bank, these questionable businesses were required to keep their funds at the bank in excess of $250,000 limit, exposing those depositors to significant losses. As a result, the Treasury Department essentially, by fiat, stepped in to cover those losses. So again, this is a moral hazard now, because these types of institutions don't have to worry about making the wrong decisions. So, I mean, again, so how... Again, I know you guys, how would that play into the differences between a credit union and a bank?
Sure. So what I can share with you is that through this, we have found in the banking industry that 90% of their depositors are underinsured, meaning they're over that $250,000 insurance limit.
Hmm.
And then so they've got 10% that are insured.
Really?
Credit unions... It's completely flipped. We have, as a credit union industry, it's 10% go over that $250,000 limit, with 90% not. At SESLOC, we actually looked when all this happened again, and we have 8% of our membership base. And again, this is mostly individuals, so only 8% who maybe go over that $250,000 limit. Credit unions also have a separate fund. So banks are regulated by the FDIC. Credit unions are the NCUA, which means it's just like the FDIC except for credit unions. So it stands for National Credit Union Administration. From there, we have a separate share insurance fund. It's called the NSCUIF. It's all these things. Basically,
yeah.
National Credit Union Share Insurance Fund,
right.
is okay. what that means, right? And so that is where for federally insured credit unions like SESLOC, that fund has never had to bail
anybody
another out. Credit union out. It's not to say, how do you deal with credit unions that might be in financial trouble, maybe some really small ones. So it's sad in our industry to see them get acquired into another credit union, but that's really how you do that, so that's not being conserved and you're having to worry about all the members or depositors
right.
getting paid back.
Right. Have there been a lot of mergers and acquisitions in the credit union industry?
Over the past probably 5 to 10 years. There's been more, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Really starting since the Great Recession, really, that's when you start to see more of it.
Right.
Kind of more of a consolidation.
Really. Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So as the interest rates have continued to go up, how has CSLOC adopted its reserve investment strategy?
So we have, we're anywhere between 65% is loans back to the membership. So the cash, you know, is being lent out to our membership. The other 30 to 35% is either invested just with the Fed, Federal Reserve, overnight cash, or in. Sorry, where's my notes on that? No, regular. Investments, but they are like
treasury,
conservative type investments.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything high risk.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I would suggest that, and we actually had a couple members call us when this all happened with the banks, and call your bank or credit union and ask them. It should be public knowledge. Your balance sheet and income statement should be in every branch lobby. So ask them how they're investing.
Right.
So right now, and this may not, based on a previous answer that you gave, but because you're really, your depositor mix is a lot different, it sounds like, than a bank. You know, yeah. It sounds like banks are top heavy as far as the amount of money people have in banks, and the number, you know, it's a 10-90 rule as opposed to a 90-10 rule. Yeah. But some banks now offer programs that allow their depositors with more than $250,000 to easily farm out the excess amounts to other banks. Do credit unions have a similar facility? If you have somebody that's got more than $250,000.
You can. There is private insurance, so that would go additional. Right now, we don't have that. But again, the population of our membership that have those deposits is so small. Right. But so credit unions typically would buy private insurance as a secondary option.
Oh, so the credit union buys it, not the consumer themselves.
Correct.
Great.
All right.
Okay, great.
Great. Well, when we return, we'll discuss a number of value-added services that CSLOC offers its members. So stay tuned.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Charles Payne, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks searching for direction for most of the trading day and ending mixed as investors digested another crop of earnings reports from big banks and other blue chip companies. Industrials and consumer staples were among the gainers, while healthcare companies and utilities lagged. And Boeing stock taking off today after its CEO Dave Calhoun said during the company's annual shareholders meeting that 737 MAX production would be rising soon. While shares of Goldman Sachs fell, weighing on the Dow after its revenue fell short of forecast, hurt by a continuing slowdown in deal-making, though its earnings top Wall Street forecasts. The Dow winners, Home Depot, Boeing, and J.P. Morgan Chase. The Dow decliners, Goldman Sachs, Johnson & Johnson, and Amgen. The Dow falling 11 points, the Nasdaq down 4, S&P 500 up 4. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Do you find yourself stuck in a timeshare? Get the real facts about the timeshare industry and your options for cancellation. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has put together a free information guide that reveals the secrets the timeshare industry doesn't want you to know, including the 5 ways to get rid of your timeshare. Call now and get this timeshare cancellation guide absolutely free.
Call 800-353-5566. That's 800-353-5566. 800-353-5566.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Hammond Overhead Door Company, serving the Central Coast for over 50 years with all your garage door needs. Residential or commercial, Hammond has the right door system for any application. As a local, family-owned company, Hammond Overhead Door Company is committed to providing the superior products you want and the personal service you deserve. Call 238-0524 or go to HammondOverheadDoor.com.
Garage door jamming? Time to call Hammond.
Rich London, the mattress specialist, has something new for you.
It's from Chittenden and Eastman, and it's called the Hemingway Collection, and they're incredible beds. You know, I've got these other beds that are really good by Eastman House, but these are even higher scale, and they're incredible feeling, and yet they're reasonably priced. And these mattresses, Gary, they even go up and down on adjustable beds. They're made for that as well.
The Ernest Hemingway Collection, now at the mattress specialist, 13th and Riverside, Paso Robles.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. We're visiting with Kelly Briggs and Sandra Batista Floyd of Cessalock Federal Credit Union. The call-in number is 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. So Kelly and Sandra, in spending some time on the Cessalock website, it seems to us that Cessalock offers a number of value-added services to individuals and businesses that set it apart as an important part of the Central Coast community. So let's unpack some of these and discuss how they can make a difference for individual consumers and businesses.
Thank you, Barry. We offer your regular consumer checking, savings. We offer the Level Up member benefits, which those I love to talk about. I feel like that's what sets us apart from the rest of the credit unions, in particular to our debit card. You earn points, reward points. We have about 118 local businesses that participate in this. And so anytime our members go in and shop at their local place, they earn reward points. And so that number is growing, by the way. Sue does a great job with bringing on those local businesses to our program. One unique thing that we like to talk about is our checking account.
I got a question
of
on
course.
So on the Level Up, do the business owners also, are the business owners using your merchant services too? So if there's a tie-in between your merchant services and then the debit cards that are being used there?
They can. That is a separate product that we would offer them, but they don't have to know. And so it's just a nice way to kind of say, you know, this is the business that's out in our community, and our members get to benefit from it, from the points.
Great. Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to interrupt, but
great question. So our home free checking account offers identity protection, which is pretty unique to a checking account. It also offers mobile insurance. So if your phone breaks or it gets stolen, we insure you because you have your checking account with us. And many people don't know about that. You pay $100 for your insurance with your phone. So we at Cessalock, because you're a member with us, we protect that phone. We also do a lot of educational grants. That's particular to Cessalock because we like to empower, educate, and enrich. And that's what we stand by with our education grant program. It supports local schools, so K through 12, and providing educational grants up to $500 each for classroom activities that could not be otherwise funded without outside funding.
Okay. How many of those do you give out each year?
Good question.
Approximately.
So this is Kelly. We've launched that program back in 2013, and to date, we've awarded over $150,000.
Okay. Wow, that's nice.
To local schools, again, in the community we can serve.
That's so that great. Might be to bring in art or music or something like that to a school,
yeah,
or
so
a computer that they need or something?
Like, I think
for
we
all
just
different things.
All different things. We just approved a couple projects in the kind of the science area at a couple schools just this past week. And one is doing, like, they're doing testing with blood pressure cuffs. And they have this whole program, which I found interesting because someone who struggles with high blood pressure. So they've done gardens. We have funded different gardens. Yes, art projects. As you know, when school funding gets cut, typically art, music, all that stuff gets cut first. So things like that.
And they're not using that appeal stuff on the vegetables.
No, they're not. Are they?
Okay, just checking.
Probably not.
I like to bring full circle. We'll make sure
they don't do that.
You know, one of the programs that I was noticing, this is getting to be a big deal. You have a debt reduction program for your members, and why don't you tell us a little bit about that one?
Yes, so we do offer Green Path. Green Path has actually saved our members 36%. In 2022. So what they do is they provide an unbiased, empathetic, certified credit counselors for our members, and they offer free assistance with budgeting, general financial wellness, debt counseling, foreclosure prevention and support, student loan payments. So they definitely look into all of those repayment strategies for you.
That is great. That is really helpful, because it's kind of amazing how there really is no standardized financial education for kids to teach them how to handle money and how to have a healthy financial life. So it's really great that you're picking up the thread on that.
So, and when I was just in Sacramento last week, there are 7 bills right now in the assembly all about financial education requirements for schools. So there's one, and I should know the number, AB something, it's McCarty's.
Yeah.
And we were, all credit unions are very much in support of it, because it adds a requirement beginning like in 2024, 2025 school year for high school students to have to do this, because they don't know what checkbooks are. And even if they use a lot of digital services, you still need to know how to balance your account.
You got to know what comes in should be better, bigger than what goes out.
Well, and there's credit and understanding credit. That's right. A whole topic on its own.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. That's amazing. That's excellent.
And you know, Barry, I also want to add, a lot of people don't think that a credit union offers more than just your consumer products, but we also specialize in commercial lending, mortgages. And so we are fully functional, better than our actual banks.
if you do say so yourself.
Let me, I'm
just a little confused now. Is the Level Up member benefits the same as Local Rewards program, or is that a separate program?
No, that's separate. So what Level Up does is you can earn rate reductions on auto loans, depending on, like, you'll get a point for loyalty for having a membership for, like, say, over 7 years. You get a point if you have a savings, you know, combined savings account balances of $10,000 or more. You get a point for an auto loan, a point for a mortgage loan. And then this qualifies you for things like, if you use an ATM that's outside of our network, we won't charge the network fee. Things like that. So fee waivers and loan discounts is what the Level Up program gives you.
Does there ever come a time where I have enough points where you pay me to borrow money?
Well, Barry, that hasn't happened yet, but we can certainly try it out with you.
Yeah, really. All right. I like that, though. It's very practical. Like, yeah. I find sometimes, we're in the insurance business, and we get these rewards programs for selling certain amounts of insurance. But then I go on this website and I look at all this junk that I have no interest in whatsoever. Your rewards are very practical. Yeah. I would like not having to pay a fee for a distant ATM or something. That's really good.
For those of us that still use checks sometimes, mm-hmm. you could get a free order of checks. Right. You know, some folks don't know what that is, but
right. That's a whole other world. Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. Any other benefits you want to chat about here before we close?
I do want to add our wealth advisor. We also have that in our branch, where you get a personalized consultation with him. And he is local, which makes it great.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Susan, do you have any more questions?
I see something about fraud and consumer protection. You want to talk about that a little bit?
So we have a specialized deposit operations department that kind of sets us apart as well, where we specialized in, I would say, more of a personal touch to the fraud. We hone in into certain things that I would say they're easier to catch when the human is behind those things.
So. Right. That makes sense.
I think, too, it's built into our online banking platform. So we just recently converted to an even stronger, both in offerings to members, but what's built in behind the scenes, because the fraudsters are getting smarter and quicker every single day.
Oh, yes.
And so having some built-in automation that tip, you know, gives us red flags right away. So it's constantly looking. Anytime we roll something out, especially in the digital space, is what is built into that service or that program that's going to help the credit union have to have less manual intervention, but it alerts us that something might not be right.
So you must offer credit cards to your members?
Yes.
Are you noticing an overall increase in credit card fraud? I have had three different incidents in the last year where people have used my credit card, and then I've had to cancel it, get a new one, and on and on.
Yeah,
it's really irritating.
Unfortunately, card compromises are pretty common because they put skimmers in ATMs, they put them in gas pumps, and so...
Oh.
Yeah, and then they go back and get the skimmers, and then you can just get plastic cards, and they activate them and go withdraw money.
Go do it again.
Yeah.
There was someone who took one of my cards. It was from one of the airlines. I found out because I saw an airline ticket on my card that wasn't there. Yeah. Anyway, we'll stop.
How's the best way for people to get in touch with you, Kelly and Sandra?
Visit our website at seslock.org, so that's SESLOC.org, or visit any of our six branches.
All right. Well, thank you both for being
here
with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You take care. We'll be back, folks.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location in Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Saturday and has a dump station for your RV. To learn more, call Delta Liquid Energy, 805-239-0616, or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
We asked Nick Medeiros, CPA at 8930 Marl Road in Atascadero, what's new at the office?
We've added some new admin staff, so that's been an awesome help to be more responsive to client phone calls and those folks coming in and out the door. That way my poor Kathy isn't so inundated and feeling buried. And a couple of years ago, I brought in a former colleague of mine that's, you know, a partner, and his name's Oscar. And then this year, we brought in Essen, another former colleague of ours that's, you know, also joined the team. So it's nice having other help around the office just to talk to, another professional to bounce ideas off of and collaborate with. So he's getting his feet wet now, getting into the grind of a tax season.
You'll find Oscar, Essen, and Nick at Nick Medeiros CPA, 8930 Marl Road, Atascadero. Call 805-466-7249.
Luxurious Karastan carpets are just the footing you need to live beautifully. And now, during National Karastan Month, you can save beautifully. Use your exclusive rebate to receive up to $1,000 back on select styles of Karastan carpets, Luxcraft hard surface flooring. Live beautifully, save beautifully with Karastan. Visit Knight's Carpets and Interiors, 3320 Ramada Drive, 237-1400, or knightscarpets.com.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. The call-in number is 805-238-5775, 238-KPRL. Next week, we're back on the topic of homeowners insurance and auto insurance. And the show will feature two rock stars of the property casualty insurance world, Dave Belmont of Adler Belmont Group and Stacey Korsgaard. And of course, you'd all know Stacey from her activities in the public sphere, but she's going to come in and help us unwrap some of the stuff that's going on with the fire situations in the state of California and what's going on with availability of insurance. So it's going to be an interesting show. I know we're going to get some calls, so we look forward to hearing from you. So Susan, what do you got in your stack that you would like to continue moving on with?
So there's always a new ism, and I discovered this. I guess it's been around for a while, but I never heard of it. It's called pronatalism, and meaning we're pro-birth. We want more children. They can't just say pro-life, I guess, because that has political connotations or whatever. But the title of this article from the Telegraph in the UK, I believe, is the Meet the Elite Couples Breeding to Save Mankind. So now all these people who are highly educated have high incomes. There's a story about this young couple. She was only 26, I believe, and was already making big bucks in some corporate job, but decided that she needed to stop working and start having babies because the world needed more, I guess, babies who were, you know, quote unquote, well-bred from intelligent, high-income people, which has certain overtones to it, but it's part of a much larger movement, which I never heard of before, that I'm sure you've all heard how the birth rates all over the world, especially in the highly developed countries, ours for one, Japan and Germany are way ahead of us in the negative space, that Japan's birth rate is so low that they will cease to exist as a nation probably within another 80, 100 years if they don't have more kids.
Right.
And it's almost past the point of no return for them.
Well, you know, a lot of the Asian countries in particular, Japan you mentioned, but China too has a demographic issue because of their foolish one-child rule that they had for like 30 or 40 years. Their population is really starting to tank, and they've got some huge problems there. And interestingly, Korea has a similar problem. Korea tried to incent with tax credits and that type of thing people to have babies. And Hungary has done the same thing. So a lot of countries are very concerned
about
this.
Russia's doing it. Yeah. Many countries all around are starting to encourage their people to have more children,
absolutely,
which brings up all kinds of interesting political and social issues. Because some people have this, you know, there's sort of like the nationalist people that are thinking, oh, my God, we don't want to be sort of outbred by these other races or nationalities or whatever, religions, whatever it is. And so it gets into really interesting territory. And the issue, as I was reading some of the comments below this article, and it was from someone in the UK, and he said, the problem is not having kids, it's raising them. And he said the UK is really not all that child-friendly. It's very expensive to raise a child. You know, if you're trying to get both parents working and have five kids, and how is all this going to work, you know, to pay child care and all that? And so to encourage this increasing the birth rate, there's going to have to be some adjustments made and some new creative ideas and how people will raise these kids together, you know, people share child care or something among other families or whatever. But it's not sustainable to just have a family have five or six kids if they can't afford it.
Well, and remember when we were in Germany visiting the kids when they were posted out there, wherever it's Grassenfeer or whatever the name of the area was, how few people with children that we saw.
And right.
Most of the time, if they had a kid, it was just one.
Right.
You know?
And then yeah, it was very interesting. And then the child becomes so precious. So everybody's all, they're almost like a China doll, so to speak. You know, they're so precious that they're almost raised to a level that isn't really necessary. You know, it makes them like thinking they're the center of the universe or something.
Right. So
it's a very interesting place we are because, again, with all the abortion that's gone on, we've aborted, what, something like 80 million babies in the U.S.
Yep.
alone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, now if we want to start encouraging people to have children, then it's just a very interesting confluence of all these influences.
Yeah. And the financial pressures for all of the entitlement programs that we have out there is there for this. Because we've mentioned this in past shows, but there was another article in the Wall Street Journal last week by a guy named the president of the Club for Growth. And he was talking about how, you know, doing nothing with Social Security is not really an option, because if they don't do anything, the trust fund is going to go broke by 2034, and probably earlier, because the current assumptions, inflation assumptions that they're using in 2022 and 2023 are below what the inflation actually is. So what's going to happen is that if our government doesn't figure out how to deal with Social Security, those of us who are on it and will be on it, in 2024, our benefits are going to be cut by about 28% automatically.
2034.
Yeah, 2034.
Not next year.
Not next year, 2034. But if they don't do anything, when the trust fund goes belly up or becomes insolvent, they're going to need to, you know, cut our benefits.
Well, because this whole system was based on having, I don't know how many, it was something like 5-8 workers for every person retired or something.
Not quite that many, but I mean, initially when it started, it was like 4 or 5 workers per person in a pensioner in the system.
Right.
Now we're down to below 3, I believe,
and it's
heading down there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the demographic, yeah, the 23.
So you have an inverse, you have an upside down pyramid.
Right. So really, you know, when you hear these politicians of both sides saying we're not going to touch Social Security, you know, I have to tell you, they're all lying to you. If they don't touch it and fix it, it's going to be an automatic cut of 23% by 2034.
Well, yeah, you could go on for a long time on that topic. Anyway,
and we don't have the
but
time.
But we're saved by the bill.
There you go. Well, so remember, Blaze and Bear Insurance Services is here to help you protect what matters most with the strategic use of life, disability, long-term care insurance, fixed annuities, and business valuation. Contact us at 805-635-7200. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters with Barry Fisher and Susan Blaze. Send your questions and show topic ideas to Barry@blazeandbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 2 o'clock.